Welcome to episode 15 of the Sports Bible. I am your co-host, Michael.
I'm your other co-host, Jackson. As we usually do, we'll kick it off with Brantford News. Our groups have been switched, and they finalized our groups for the regionals for the Laurier soccer team. So it's going to be Laurier, Brantford, Conestoga, George Brown, and I want to say it's Sheridan, I think.
I think it's St. Clair. I think St. Clair instead of Sheridan, I think.
Okay. Because I was talking to someone yesterday. I think I was talking to Martin, and he said it's either that or St. Clair. But we are first seeing, you know, it's George Brown. It's going to be tough. But that I think with this team and with our determination and grit, we'll pull away with a point. And, you know, we have a lot of predictions here from other people saying, this is the year that, you know, we have a really good shot at making provincials. I really can't say anything as a rookie. So I'm going to let, you know, maybe Oka speak on this a bit.
Yes, sir. I'm just really, really happy we were able to have a season. It's been so up and down, and I think where the way things are coming together, I know just coming from your perspective of being a rookie, like everything's been kind of up in the air. There hasn't been, you know, any real set plan. You've had to adjust a lot. And obviously the rest of the rookies have had to go through the same thing. So I do want to thank you for your patience, you know, the determination that you guys still have. But just after everything we've gone through, I'm really looking forward to playing, to going out there and just leaving it all there. Because for me, I am graduating. So this is my last, you know, chance to just really play, show what I can do, and leave something with Laurier. You know, we've been talking, the team's been talking about getting a banner, you know, making it out of regionals, you know, progressing and kind of just solidifying, you know, that legacy. And, you know, it starts here. It starts with our practices. It starts with a common goal that we all have, and together I do believe we can do that. So regarding the teams, I personally don't really care who we go up against, because they're not going to distract us from our goal. We can play whoever. We just have to focus on what we do, control what we can control, and move forward from there. But I am looking forward to playing. And I know that we will be ready.
Yes, sir. I think Michael spoke for, I think, everyone on this team. We got a lot of fourth years. We got a lot of vets. We got, you know, but we also have a young team still. We got a lot of future in this team. We got a lot of depth, which is, you know, greatly appreciated. You know, over the years, I've talked to people and they said that, you know, they didn't really have much people coming out. And as you said before, in early episodes, near the beginning of the first tryout, you know, I and the rest of the team was completely shocked about how many people came out. We had over 30 people come out to try out. And we still have half of those guys committed and determined to win. And I'm gonna work my ass off. Sorry for the swearing, but I'm working my ass off to get provincials. And I've been telling fourth years, especially Visser, I'm getting them a medal no matter what. I don't care what it takes. I want to be a part of that banner, or a banner for this team. And this goal, our goal this year is to have number two up in our gym. So when, you know, when people come in the YMCA, they see that. You know, it's a proud moment to say that you were part of that team. So, you know, dates of it haven't been finalized. March 10th or 11th, we'll be playing at Redeemer. And then Provincials is at the end of the month, at the end of March. So, and we will be there. That's a promise. We will be at Provincials as the underdogs, but with the team that has the most fight. So, Brantford News, that covers it. March 10th, March 11th. Keep your eyes out for updates from any of the soccer guys. And we'll, you know, we'll jump right into the biggest matchup of the year, every year. The Super Bowl between Cincinnati Bengals and the LA Rams. LA Rams came out 23-21, 23-20 dub. Not gonna lie, I'm $160 in the hole right now. a lot of wrong bets. That just didn't go my way. But one hell of a game. Yeah. Back and forth. The Bengals had them throughout the whole game, and then the one last drive, Cooper Kupp was just unstoppable. And, you know, the whole game, I'm telling you, you know, Bengals started off smart. This is what they did. They double-teamed, triple-teamed Donald. Smart. He had nothing in the first half.
Yep.
One sack, maybe. And then they start single-teaming him, and he's a threat. And for the last two possessions on offense, he's getting pressure. He's getting sacks. And then he iced the game with, the quarterback, Harry, and Joe couldn't get it. But one game, one hell of a game. I won Bengals. I like the underdog stories. Joe Shiesty, this is not his last year in the Super Bowl. He'll be back. Beckham went down with injury. That lost people a lot of money. And all the people I was talking to. A lot of money was lost when Beckham went down.
Yep.
But those are my thoughts. Okay, what do you got?
It was a very good game, like you said, back and forth. It was getting a little nervy. I know a lot of people, you know, that mid third quarter to the, I guess, start of the fourth, that's when it looked like Cincinnati was going to take it. But that drive was pretty insane. Like, Cooper Kupp just went to work. It was like, it was funny because my friends were talking. They were saying like that was going to be the inevitable, obviously, because they didn't have Odell, and they had to go to Kupp. But you saw how they were doing a lot of double coverages on him, and he was still able to get by a few of them. So, but what did you think of the quarterback performance of Matthew Stafford?
Dog. Oh my goodness. So horrible. 26 for 43, three touchdowns, two interceptions, constantly overthrowing his receivers. Just forcing things downfield. I think it was in the second quarter, he forced it down to Van Jefferson. Bates picked him off in the end zone. It's overthrowing a lot of people. And his defense was what kept him in the game. It was 5 or 6 minutes left. Since they had the ball, one score, if a field goal or touchdown, I think would ice the game for Cincy. Touchdown would have put him up by 2 possessions, up by 11. A field goal would have made him put up by 8. You know, even if they do score, you still got to stop for the 2-point. Their defense really turned up. Ramsey got cooked by Boyd and Chase. He didn't look good. It was that pass rush. Not much Von Miller, more of Leonard Floyd and Aaron Donald in the pressure in the QB. But to me, I don't think the Rams played that good. It's just the Bengals played worse. Obviously, they came up clutch near the end of the fourth. The Rams obviously had that incredible last minute drive to score with 2 minutes left. But yeah, and I think Burrow, even though he didn't, you know, he had one touchdown. I think he just, oh, and you know, I think Burrow would, in that moment, I think Burrow was a more calmer, confident quarterback in the big games. Stafford, you know, good for him. I'm proud. I'm happy for him. You know, he's finally got a ring being in Detroit all of his years. Mm-hmm. But I don't know, a lot of overthrows, just forcing things downfield.
Yeah.
I mean, the injuries on both teams were setbacks. You know, Burrow came out limping, but he came back on the field. Odell, obviously, as you said, re-aggravated his ACL. But, you know, I think Browns fans are the teams, you know, are what really hurting right now with Odell winning, have to get traded. I think they're punching the air.
Yeah.
I think Lions fans are punching the air. But I think Lions fans overall, I think they're, you know, obviously happy for Stafford, for what he's done in Detroit. But, you know, he's finally getting his ring. But, yeah, no, Stafford did not play good. What about you?
No, I agree with you there. It was very – it looked like he was shaky for half the game. Like, just didn't seem like he had it. Like, he wasn't fully there. And I also wanted to ask you about the running game. You probably noticed how, like, the Rams couldn't run the ball, like, at all. What did you think of that? Would you credit that to the defense, or would you just credit that to the Rams just had no running game?
Don't even get me started on the running game. Oh my goodness.
It was horrible.
I had horrible. A bet. Acres needs to score once. That was my bet. I put $30, I get back 66. Mm-hmm. They marched down the field on like the 2 or 3 yard line. And they don't hand the ball off to Acres. You know, he's a running back, he gets paid. That's his position, to run the ball. It's in the name of his position. Hand the ball off to him. I know throughout the whole game, both teams did not run well. You know, Mixon had a couple. I think his longest was like 11 yards, maybe. You know, Akers didn't do anything. Michelle didn't do anything. Henderson didn't do anything. Piran didn't do anything. Mixon didn't do anything. The running game for both teams was horrible. So it was the passing game for majority of the teams. Overall, like, both teams just played mediocre, but in a sense that they played good as well. It's kind of like hard to understand that. You know, both teams not have a good running game, but, you know, the Rams were just, you know, they used 3 running backs and they couldn't get anything. They couldn't puncture that D-line. They couldn't puncture Logan Wilson coming off the edge in the linebacker position. They just couldn't do anything. And the same thing with Cincinnati. You know, it's kind of hard to – it's hard to run the ball when you got Donald standing there. And you got Floyd coming in, you got Miller, you got Ramsey coming in from the cornerback position, Eric Weddle coming down. Running game was completely shut down for both teams. So definitely the passing game had to be there, which it was for both teams. Kind of inconsistently, but it was there. They needed big plays when they needed them. But yeah, the running game, don't even get me started, because, you know, Akers just need to score. And I would have, instead of being down 160, I would have been down at least maybe like $100, maybe like $80. But, you know, hand the ball off to him. Another play that stood out running the ball was 3rd and 1 since his last drive. You should have passed it. You should look for the check down, at least a quick little 5 yard out route or something. Because when you pass the ball, you have 2 options. You can pass the ball, obviously, or if you can't, you at least have a shot to scramble and get some yards. And it's Burrow. He can scramble. He's capable of doing it. Mm-hmm. You do not run the ball with your second string running back into the gap where Donald is going. you don't. If you're going to run the ball, you give it a stretch out to the left side, away from Donald with Mixon. Or give it to Mixon, and he has a good IQ enough to not run where Donald is. Piran just thought he can go right through him. Obviously not. That play was horrible. Horrible play call from Zach Taylor. Needed to get that out there. Should have shown the – throw the check down. Simple. I'm not even mad about the Rams winning. I'm mad about the money I lost. That's really it. I'm down in the ditch right now. So I need to make up. But one hell of a football season, one hell of a football playoff. Back and forth games. If you got any more thoughts about the Super Bowl, shout them out.
I think that's it. I'm really happy that Odell got his ring. You know, it was tough to see him not play the full game. It looked like he was on course to, you know, play a pretty good game. I'm glad he got his touchdown. But other than that, yeah, I do. What did you think of the halftime performance, actually? Because
you know what? For the talent there, great show. You know, yeah. I gave it like a solid 7, 7.5, 8 out of 10. I feel like they could have used a couple more artists with more screen time. I think Kendrick deserved a bit more screen time. Mm-hmm. Eminem was good, but Dre and Snoop had to have some good songs, and I mean they were kind of the main co-hosts. But I just feel like more screen time with Eminem and Kendrick. I was not expecting 50 Cent to pop out. which I totally disagree with. I think if you would have added someone else, maybe like a Lil Wayne coming out, then yeah. But 50, I mean, he has a couple good songs, but I think if you added a Lil Wayne in there, it would have been different. And respect to Dr. Dre for playing, you know, California Love by Tupac. Overall, besides the screen time for some artists, it was good. What about you?
Yeah, I really enjoyed it. I thought it was amazing. I did want more screen time for Kendrick. But I do understand, because when the whole thing finished, I thought, wow, this was pretty short. But I do understand, obviously, there's a football game left to play. So.
Yeah.
You have to factor that in as well. I think everyone got a good amount of time. The 50 Cent thing was a surprise, but I did like it. I definitely liked it. It was pretty smooth. You know, there wasn't really any, the transitions were very good. So yeah, it was good to me. I know I wouldn't, it was one of the better ones for sure. The best ever, I'd still give to MJ. Okay. Of course, because I'm biased. but it was definitely one of the better ones. That 100% better than last year. I didn't like the Weeknd's performance last year. But yeah, I think that's everything on the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Great game, great performance, no real complaints. The Rams should have won. You know, they're home as well. And you know, that actually helps Arsenal, because I'm not sure if you know, but the owner of the Rams is Stan Kroenke, and he also owns Arsenal as well. So them winning, you know, that money is going to be very, very beneficial.
Hopefully.
Hopefully. Because usually it's known that Kroenke doesn't really, like, mix his money in terms of, like, the money he wins from the Rams, he's probably just going to put back into the Rams. It's not like he's going to take some of that money and invest in his other business ventures, even though that's what you're supposed to do. But yeah, so hopefully we do see some of it. I know the Rams just had a new stadium. Them winning that will, you know, the profit they're going to make, you know, t-shirt sales, all of that, adding that in, like it's going to be really good for business for him. So, but speaking of Arsenal, we were back this week. The Premier League is back, thankfully. There wasn't too many I'd say, amazing games that I saw. Saw a bit of the Aston Villa game. Newcastle did win again. Kieran Trippier scored a free kick, two free kicks. Thankfully, Tottenham lost because they're rubbish. That was
the last surprise
to Wolves. And we actually did beat Wolves before they played Spurs. 1-0. I'm not sure if you're able to watch the game.
That's the highlights.
Okay. I did watch the game. But from the highlights, what would you say? How would you say we played?
You know, good, but a lot of missed opportunities. Lacazette should have bagged that.
Oh, man. Oh, my.
And
that guy's shaking it.
And, you know, Martinelli lost his head there a bit.
Goofy.
Dumb challenges. But, you know, another solid game from Ramsdale.
Yep.
Another clean sheet. Mm-hmm. You know, Ben White played it phenomenal. Gabriel bagged it in with the goal. But yeah, just I think just a lot of missed opportunities. You know, you're getting paid millions and millions and millions of dollars to score goals. And that's one you cannot miss. I know he posted on his IG after saying, you know, he's proud for the boys, but he's disappointed that he missed. Pretty much like it's there, like for them, it's like a wide open shot.
It was a sitter. Like he should have scored. He didn't even get it on target, right? Like he placed it wide.
Yeah, he did. He placed it past the post.
I was just like, no.
But other than that, you know, 3 points, 3 points, picked up the dub. Right now we're sitting sixth. We're 1 point behind Man United since they got a draw. And 2 points behind West Ham for fourth. So it's going to be a tight race for fourth place, obviously, between us, West Ham, Manchester United, Wolves, and Tottenham. You know, if we keep winning, I think Chelsea's at 47, sitting third. You know, this is where we need to pick up a form now. This is it. We need to pick up form now near the end of the season and challenge for fourth. You know, I still having us making Champions League. But we need to, you know, we're supposed to play against Chelsea the London Derby that got postponed. What was the Tottenham?
Yeah, it was. Yeah. Against Chelsea.
You know, kind of wish we had that game, but I still got us fourth place. I still got us making Champions League. You know, obviously you watched the game, so I don't know if the highlights – obviously, highlights seem to show the highlights, but I don't know if you saw anything different live in those 90 minutes.
Yeah, it was an interesting game. I was very disappointed in Martinelli. Couldn't control himself. It was very, very childish. And it's not what we need right now. We already have so many players that are known to get red cards. him adding to that tally doesn't help us in any way. So now it looks like we're going to have to play with Pepe. And I don't know for his Arsenal career. Hopefully he takes his chance because it was two yellow cards. So I think it is just one. It's just one game that he's going to miss. So hopefully we won't have to deal too much with Pepe. But the game, we did deserve to win. It was a much-needed win. I think we defended pretty well. It could have been a more comfortable win of Lacazette's finish. But I'm proud of the way we played. And yeah, it wasn't an amazing performance, but we did play well. We did deserve to win. So I think the right result happened. And yeah, we look forward to our next game, which is on Saturday against Brentford. Again, like you mentioned, we are 2 points off top four, but we do have two games in hand also. So I was looking at our fixtures. our next four games are very crucial to our season. And I think they may decide our season, because, you know, teams have played 21 to 25 games right now. Obviously, with COVID, some postponed games. Not all the teams have played the same amount. But these next four games for us, we have Brentford. You know, we have Wolves.
Dub.
We've got Watford.
Dub.
And then we've got Leicester.
Dub.
So all these teams are in, like, Leicester's not in good form at all. Watford's not in good form. The Wolves game will be more of a challenge, but we are at home, so we'll see. And Brentford should be...
As long as they don't pull what happened in the first game.
Exactly. There should be some redemption there. So with those, you know, with those four games, we could be potentially sitting comfortably in fourth.
12 points. But 12 points.
That's 12. We get those 12 points, and I think we're in a very good position.
We're sitting at 51 points.
Exactly. So, and we could even potentially be third if we win our next four, right?
So Chelsea just got to lose two.
Yeah. So we'll see. We'll see. But I think this next, yeah, these next, you know, four, five, six games will pretty much decide our season. And I hope Arteta is in the change room, you know, preaching that same message, because it's not something to take lightly.
No, it's not. We need this. We have no other cups or tournaments or anything to worry about. It's the Premier League. This is our main focus. You know, a lot of people said, you know, maybe this is the best for Arsenal, is that they don't have the pressure of the FA, you know, Europa League. Just the Prem. That's all you got to focus on is the Prem. One league. And, you know, I said this a couple episodes ago. We need to make the Champions League to bring in big names. Has to be. I don't think players want to come to Arsenal and play in Europa League. They want to play Champions League. Yeah. So we made Champions League. We're bringing in extra stars, and we're getting ready for the Champions League tournament. But I'm excited. And you just gave the schedule. And now I'm very optimistic. You know, we have games we should win, but knowing Arsenal, we struggle against bottom teams and we play very good against the top teams. We got to keep that same mindset. We got to go out there and take every team as like a Manchester City or Liverpool. That's the mindset every game. We cannot let anyone get a chance to score. We cannot take any team lightly, because it's the Prem. Anything can happen in football. That's why it's the world's beautiful game. Any upset can happen. So, you know, I'm optimistic about these four games. Hopefully we get 12 points, since it's comfortable in fourth. West Ham need to lose. What, Chelsea need to lose. I'm not worried about United, Tottenham, Wolves really, like, picking up points. But, and I'm excited. And I think all Arsenal fans should be excited for this upcoming schedule. Because it's bright. We have, you know, all we got to do now as fans is be optimistic, and hopefully we bring in some good players. I don't know. I have no idea if we're linked with anyone. I don't know if you have any idea if we're linked with anyone. But I haven't seen anything on the transfer news about Arsenal linking with any star player or any player.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think after the January transfer window, a lot of the speculation kind of went to bed. So I think a lot of players, like you said, they're going to be looking to see if we make Champions League, and that will decide if they'll come to the club. I think we offloaded quite a few contracts in January, and we'll probably do the same in the summer. You know, Lacazette will probably walk for free. Nketiah will probably leave. I don't know if we're going to re-sign, you know, Guendouzi. So he may go.
Then, you know, you still don't see him on the team.
Yeah, like, I know right now he's still on loan, but I believe, I'm not sure, because he went to Marseille. And I think Marseille have a transfer ban. So I don't think they'll actually be able to sign him, like an option to buy. So we'll see. But we do know that we need reinforcements in the midfield. We're going to need a striker. So, again, a lot of work to do.
After that game, we need a striker.
Yeah. So depending on where we finish, I think it will decide, you know, it will definitely help. Finishing Champions League will push us in the right direction. And I think we can skip some of the, you know, that training. We're really in a training wheel like phase. And I kind of want to push on to where, you know, we're riding the bike by ourselves, you know, no problems. If you get my analogy, that was a pretty good
analogy. I get it. Yeah, okay.
That was neat.
Okay, I'm gonna have to dab you up in practice today.
But yeah.
Training wheels have to come off now.
They need to come off. So, but yeah, I'm excited to see these next four games. Definitely going to be watching that Brentford one on Saturday. And yeah, I'm sure you saw Man City. Man City destroy Norwich. He does it all.
He's a jack of all trades. Norwich, yeah. No, they had no chance against Man City at all. No, what was it? 3-0?
Yes, Sterling scored. No, I think it was 4. Sterling scored a hat-trick, I believe. Yeah, 4-0. Yeah, Sterling hat-trick and then Foden scored.
I didn't watch the game. Did you watch the game?
No. I just saw highlights. Sterling scored a perfect hat-trick. I still think the Premier League is finished. Like, Man City won.
Yeah. And I don't even know where Liverpool is sitting behind them. I didn't know how many points. Is it over 10? I have no idea. I think
they cut it. Right now, it is 9. It's 9 points. So, Liverpool have a game in hand too. So,
yeah, I mean, like, how many games we got left in the season? A month left?
Yeah, there's like 13 games.
I mean, like, that's only 3 games, and then City got to lose 3 games.
Exactly.
But do I see him losing?
3?
Nah, I don't. Unless he drop points somehow. But I don't. I think they're going to have the foot on the pedal throughout the rest of the season. You know, they're going to be back-to-back champs. Yeah, I think it's over. I don't think Liverpool is going to be able to catch them. You know, speaking of Liverpool, you know, the chemistry might be a bit off now since, you know, Senegal knocked off Egypt, you know, Mane knocked off Salah in the AFCON. So, you know, maybe, I don't know if Salah's, you know, hopefully he's moved on. He's passed. It's tough to move on from, you know, in the finals, you representing your country. You know, I kind of wish I watched the AFCON games. I didn't watch a single game, but, you know, good for Mane, good for Senegal. Everyone had Egypt. Mane had an outstanding tournament.
Yep.
And now they got to work together as a team now. And you think? Here's a question. You think those in-game, like in regular season tournaments, like the AFCON, you know, running throughout the Premier League? You think that has an effect on players like stamina or, you know, fitness? You think it's going to affect how they play and, you know, you think they're going to be gassed out throughout the rest of the season?
I think, I think it does affect them. If anything, the thing is, these athletes, they're like best of the best, right? So because they're already in such good shape, I feel there will be some harm just because of the constant game time. You know, the legs get tired, right? But I think managers just have to be wary in terms of how they train and how much game time they get, especially when they come back. Like in terms of Partey, like, you know, Ghana got knocked out pretty early, right? So for him, it won't really affect him because it'll just be like a regular thing. He didn't really play that much more game time than someone like Mane. For someone like Mane, obviously, you know, playing the full tournament, winning. Now you're coming back. I'd say, you know, Klopp just has to be wary. Maybe not start him for the next two games. He comes off the bench. And then maybe just decrease his training load by like, you know, a 50% until maybe for like 2 weeks, and then he can come back fresher. Because these guys, they're such athletes that I feel like they can readjust pretty well. And it shouldn't take too much, but obviously you don't want to overload the body. And, you know, Liverpool have Champions League too, right? So, and Champions League's back, it's back this week. So you got to know what to do with your star players in a time like that, and that's why squad depth is so important. Because if you rely on, you know, Mane and Salah, and then they go to African Cup of Nations, they come back and they both made it to the finals, and you're trying to win the Premier League and Champions League, they're going to need rest in between sometime, right? So I think it's more on the managers and the coaches to manage the players. What do you think?
Yeah, see, like, I don't know. Like, to me, it's like a big gamble, you know? Like, you don't want them to get injured. You know, especially playing, you know, in a close Premier League race as it is, you know, only 9 points away. You do not want to get injured. And I feel like when you're playing for the World Cup or AFCON or Euros or something that's representing your country, you play a lot more competitive, a lot more aggressiveness, you know, a lot more, you know, you just play with more heart. And I'm not saying it's like, you know, it's a bad thing. I'm just saying, I think when it's your country on the line, you want to represent your country, you know, people, obviously they play hard. Sometimes that leads to, you know, injuries, severe injuries, you know, just because, you know, it's the playing for the country, and, you know, you can't get anything when you're an athlete. That's the main thing you want to play for. You want to play for your country. You want to represent your country in the biggest stage. You know, I'm all for it. Obviously, as you said, they're athletes that train for this. They're the best of the best. Their fitness levels, all, especially soccer players, to be able to run straight 90 minutes straight. It's hard to do, but these guys have the stamina, they have the endurance. But I just feel like it's just one big gamble, because if you do not want to get injured, and it's, to me, I feel like it's a lot easier to get injured in those tournaments that represent your country, just because you're playing for so much more. So it's you're making so many more sacrifices, you know, and in your back of your mind, you don't care if you get injured or not, because you want to represent your country. So, you know, I'm all for it, but I just overall, I think it's just the one big gamble.
Yeah, I agree. It's easier to get injured doing that tournament style just because the games are so frequent. So yeah, I think they just have to be wary over the next, you know, 2 to 3 weeks, especially because Liverpool have so much games. Wary, yeah. Just because they have so many games. So
yeah.
But Yota's been holding it down for them. She's playing amazing. That was a very important pickup. So we will see how things turn out. But we'll transition over to basketball. There were some big trades.
You called it.
Big trades. I had a feeling. We'll start, obviously, with the Philadelphia Nets one. What did you think? What do you think overall of the trade?
A lot of people say, Brooklyn fleeced the Sixers. You're obviously getting picks and you're getting a young player like Ben Simmons, and you're getting – who else went over there? Drummond.
Seth Curry.
Yep, Seth Curry, a shooter to add with Joe Harris. They're getting a prolific rebounder who can win offensive and defensive rebounds. But on the other hand, Sixers, they're getting Harden. They're getting one of the best shooting guards in the league. The pair up against one of, in my opinion, the best center in the league. And you still kept Maxey. You still kept Harris. You still kept Kortmaz. You still kept Shake Milton. You let go of Drummond, but you still have who's the backup now? How do you know who the backup is going to be in Philly? Drummond, what's the backup?
That's what I was concerned about.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I'm sure they have someone. I just don't know who's going to be the backup. I got to agree, though. Like, I think Brooklyn did win the trade just because they're more built for the future. I mean, unless you want to put Millsap, you can throw Millsap in the center position. He's not really a center. He's a power forward. But I just think, Philly did a great job of acquiring Harden without losing star players.
Yeah.
They kept Harris. They let go of Seth Curry, which is a bummer. But, they have Danny Green. I mean, maybe they should have shipped Danny Green instead of Seth. But they still have shooters. They still have Kortmaz. Harris can shoot. Embiid can shoot. Harden's a great shooter. Maxey can shoot. Millsap can shoot. Definitely going to be a battle now in the East. Now we're just waiting for Harden to play and waiting for Simmons to play and KD to get healthy. I think as of right now, without Kyrie playing, Philly wins the trade. When Kyrie does play, then Brooklyn wins the trade. Because I think Simmons might be taking up point guard position while Kyrie's not playing. Uh-huh. Obviously, he's not a point guard. But, I think, Brooklyn wins the trade, but I'm not mad at how Philly acquired Harden. So those are my thoughts. It's Brooklyn won the trade, but a great acquisition for Philly.
Yeah. I think both teams benefited. You can say that both teams got better. Obviously Harden did need a running mate Embiid didn't need a running mate, and getting Harden was ideal. It should work, especially in the pick and roll. It should be perfect. I just feel Philly don't have enough. I know Embiid is dominant. I know he's basically the MVP. And if their role players can do what they, need to do, what they should do, it could work. But I definitely think, I was just looking at Brooklyn's roster against Miami and all the players that didn't play. And right now it's Claxton, Aldridge, Seth Curry, Kevin Durant, and Drummond, who didn't play. Joe Harris. That's six guys right there. From all those names, you add that to the players that did play, I'm like, this team has what they need to contend. KD playing at a high level, Kyrie playing. You know, you still got your Patty Mills, you got your Seth Curry. Now you got some size with Drummond, Blake, Aldridge. They have enough now. And I think with Ben Simmons playing like a Draymond-style type of game, that will maximize their offense and their defense. Because I do think even with Kyrie playing, Ben Simmons should – he should kind of run the offense the way Draymond runs the Golden State offense. You know, a lot of pick and pops, a lot of off ball screens. He's going to be looking to pass very often, but we've seen, you know, you can give Ben Simmons space and he's still able to do a lot with it. And that should open up opportunities for Kyrie to create off the ball. And I know he's a dominant ball handler, but this could open up his game even more and make things easier for him. You know, rather than dribble through, you know, three guys, two guys, he'll only have to take one and then he's into his, you know, dribble pull up or, you know, coming off an off ball screen, he's at the rim easier. So now he might get a lot of, you know, pin down threes. So his game could become much easier. And especially for someone like KD, this is ideal for him because Ben Simmons will take those defensive responsibilities against the wings. His help defense is amazing. He'll be in the passing lanes to help KD out. So I really like it for the Nets, and it's much needed. I'm not sure. I think the reason why it didn't work, obviously, was, you know, Kyrie not playing. I think Harden just got cheesed. and he was like, well, if the best player isn't even – one of the best players isn't even willing to get vaccinated, why should I put in so much work? Because – it's not going to work with the current roster. So I'm not happy about what James Harden did, but I understand. I understand.
Yeah, I think you just put it perfectly. You know, I think, you know, even though Brooklyn did win the trade, it benefits both teams. Now with this, you know, I think, you know, I think last episode I said if Harden goes to Philly, how is he gonna mix with Embiid? This is the time to shine. You know, if he's got to learn how to play with a true dominant center. Everyone's saying this is the next Shaq and Kobe. You know, I saw it online. I don't think it is. But it's if they can click like a Shaq and Kobe. I think the East is over, and I think Philly's running through the East because Embiid's playing on an MVP level. Harden has been kind of inconsistent this season, but kind of overlooked again. But yeah, I think with the assets they got, I think Philly takes the East this year. Not when I say the East, I mean like at the end of the season, they're gonna be first and. Playoffs, I don't know yet. I don't know if they're going to take the East. But I think at the end of the season, I think they'll be first. I think they get that first seed. But, you know, how does Harden play in the playoffs? You know, when you play with Houston, it didn't look too good.
Yeah.
So we got to see. In Brooklyn, he had players to rely on. He could rely on Kyrie and KD, but he got injured. And we know what Embiid can do in the playoffs. He took that team to the, you know, almost the conference finals one year ago. But, you know, Embiid's built for the playoffs. He can play in the playoffs. So we'll see. We'll see how about happens. But another trade I think that was big was Sacramento dishing off Tyrese Haliburton, Buddy Hield. I think one other person for Sabonis, Justin Holiday, and I think forget someone else, but you know, Sabonis playing with Fox. I think Marvin Bagley was dished off too in a trade.
Yeah, to Detroit. Yeah.
Yeah. So if Detroit gets even younger now, with Bagley, they have a young roster. That team's going to look bright in the future. Detroit's going to look bright. But speaking, so I want to get back to the Sacramento, because I think that trade, you know, benefits kind of both teams. Obviously, Indiana is in its rebuild position now after dishing out Sabonis. I thought Sabonis would have been gone in the offseason. I didn't expect him to be gone like now. But, you know, any Pacers bring in a shooter with Buddy Hield. They bring in a young guard with Tyus Halliburton to play alongside Brogdon. And then the Kings, they have a solid, in his prime, power forward. I'd say arguably top three right now, or I mean, arguably top five. I think Sabonis is in the league.
Yeah.
It's power forward. He's a consistent double-double guy. And you bring him with Fox, who's a great point guard. You know, I think this whole trade deadline benefited every team. You know, I think that Sacramento trade was big. What are your thoughts on that?
It was very strange on the Kings side. I think the Pacers won the trade. Tyrese Halliburton is going to be a phenomenal player in the league. Buddy Hield, I don't think he'll be there long term. And then who is the other player? I forgot the other player. But Sabonis, I get why getting someone like Sabonis is big for the franchise. I would love to see him go to a contender. That's where I thought he was gonna go. The Kings needed to do something, but losing Halliburton that's a step in the wrong direction for me. I don't think it was worth giving him up to get Sabonis personally. And Sabonis is a top five, power forward in the league, but he's always just been on terrible teams, So no one really sees how good he is. And I don't want him to be there long-term because I feel like he'll waste a lot of his time there. But it looks like they're just going to build around him and Fox and then go from there. Pacers, they're going young. There's still Miles Turner, who I do think will be gone by the end of the season. You know, we don't know about Brogdon either. You know, Brogdon might get traded to a contender. Makes that team stronger and they go even younger. So, interesting trade, but I do think the Pacers won. And then there was also the last one we can talk about is the Portland, New Orleans, with CJ McCollum going to New Orleans, finally breaking up that Damian Lillard and McCollum tandem for the Trailblazers. What did you think of the trade?
That tandem was broken 3 years ago. You know, it's to me, it's, you know, everyone's hyping up, oh, you know, it's the big three in New Orleans. It's not a big three. Sorry to say, it's not a big three. You know, McCollum, I don't think McCollum brings that, you know, excitement anymore to the league. Obviously, with Zion not even playing, it's just Ingram playing right now. Do I see Zion gone potentially in the next couple of years? Everyone's clowning him that he's going to go to New York to join Reddish and Barrett, the Duke players. But, you know, I'm not saying McCollum is a horrible player. He can easily drop 20, 25 games if he wanted to, which is a good pickup, a decent pickup for New Orleans. You know, I think Ingram needed help, just him by himself in there. Now that he has McCollum, he can rely on. But Portland gets back, I think, Josh Hart, who's a solid, I say he's, you know, an average, solid NBA player. Now that they even have Joe Ingles, who can shoot. You know, they kept Nurkic. But I think with that McCollum trade is setting up for a trade or an absence of Lillard. I think Lillard will be gone from Portland soon.
I think that trade indicated it. Yeah, I think it's confirmed. Lillard won't be there long term, which will be interesting to see where he goes. Because do you think, like, where would he go?
Some people saying LA for Russ. You know, where do I want him to go? Obviously, if he comes to LA, I'll be happy. Maybe he goes, you know, maybe he goes to the Clippers. Maybe Portland.
I thought about that. Yeah.
Maybe they ship off George or Kawhi, you know, one of them two.
No,
you think you think they make, you think they build a big three with
Dame? Because does how much he'd have to be traded, right? He can't be signed.
I don't know what his what his contract is, I think he asked for a trade this offseason. I think he's gone. You know, Portland. I think Portland's gonna make the playoffs, but I think he's gone. Or, you know, where I can see him going, with a team that has a lot of assets to give up, is OKC. They have a lot of picks. They have a lot of young core, and they compare him with Shea.
Shea
can play shooting guard. Dan can step in. OKC gets their next great point guard like Russ, and they still have Dort. They can still keep. They can trade Bazley. They can trade Miles Brown. They can trade whoever they want. But if they compare him with Shea, and then draft, I don't know, maybe Chet Holmgreen or something like that.
I don't think Dame wants to wait. I think he just wants to go to a contender. And I'm looking at his contract right now, and he's an unrestricted free agent in 2025. So he's guaranteed money, $40 million plus for the next 3 years. So his contract is, it's pretty hefty. So he'd have to go to a team where they can trade for him. They're going to need the cap.
I got it. Dame goes to Boston. He goes to Celtics. Celtics in the point guard. He pair him up with Tatum Brown.
They'd have to probably trade one of them.
You think? What about, like, they just dish off, like,
well,
Paxton, Richard, or the Smart, and...
Okay, yes. If they got rid of Smart...
They'd have to.
Yeah, Smart would have to go.
I'm trying to think who else is in Boston.
They don't have a lot. No. They got rid of Richardson. I think Tatum and Brown are their highest guys, right? They got rid of Schroeder. They got rid of Cantor. Yeah, that's why I think they'd have to trade one of them. It'd most likely have to be Jaylen Brown, Smart, another guy, and probably like a pick for Dame. And then it'd be Dame and Tatum.
But Boston, I think Boston wants to compete with those three.
It's gonna be
tough. I'm trying to just think of teams that have cap space and need a point guard. Maybe they dish him off New Orleans. Maybe they trade Zion. I don't know. Pair him up with McCollum again. I don't think so. I don't think that's gonna happen. You know, Lakers look like a real potential. You know?
Yes.
Russ
because they just have to trade Russ. Yeah.
And Russ has a lot of cap space. Maybe he goes to.
Maybe Utah. Really?
Yeah, but
they have not. You have to trade James Harden.
Yeah, nah. I mean, he could. They kept Harris. They kept Maxey. They kept Danny Green, Kortmaz. They can dish off Maxey. He's a young, good point guard, and they could dish off Harris and a pick for Dame. You know, I don't think that would be if they're in the rebuild stage. Maxey would definitely help as a young point guard. Harris would definitely help as a vet in the power forward position. Do I see Philly pulling that trade off? No, I don't. They have Harden. That's tough. What Miami? Maybe, but I don't think they're gonna let go of Lowry.
Yeah, there's two. I think you'd have to break down every team, maybe in another episode, yeah, and see.
Yeah, yeah. See I think he stays in the West.
Yeah. I agree. Maybe
yeah, that
Dallas.
Dallas. Yeah, I was thinking about Dallas.
Dallas can pay him. They can pay him.
They just traded KP. So I don't know who else they would dish off. And they just signed. And they just signed Finney Smith to like 5 years.
Finney Smith would have to go.
Yeah, but they just signed him.
I know. He'd have to go. Probably Hardaway would have to go.
Yeah, Hardaway has a lot of contracts.
Powell would have to go.
Yeah.
And they're gonna have to pay Jalen Brunson. But if you get Dame and Luka, you probably get rid of Brunson.
Yeah, and you keep Boban.
Yeah, and then that makes up the money. Yeah.
I think you know we could babble on this all day about where's Dame going, but you know as he said we could talk a full episode about it. But I think that's reached the end of episode 15. It's crazy to think we're 15 episodes in 15 weeks of the Sports Bible. I've been one co-host Jackson.
I've been your other co-host Michael. Thank you for listening. And we will see you next week for episode 16. Take care.
Sir, take care.